Okay, Chevra, good evening. First of all, in case we're rushing at the end of share, just want to wish all of you a Chag Kosher Sameach. You should have a good Yontiv. Try to continue to learn over Yontiv as much as possible. We're right now actually beginning what I consider the major sugya of the Perek. The reason why I wanted to start from Lamed Hey is because I really wanted to focus on Bishul Akum, which is actually one of the most important halachic issues that comes up in our world. I just got a call this week that there's a group of rabbonim down in a different part of the country who are thinking of just giving hashgacha on vegan restaurants with the assumption that they can rely on certain kulos within Bishul Akum. So as we learn through these suyas, hopefully we'll understand what can be relied on, what can't be relied on. It's very relevant, of course, for food that's cooked by housekeepers, babysitters, etc. These are big issues. So let's get into the sugya. Lamed Zayin Amud Beis. I know that we did this on, what was it called, Zoom or something? Yashar Koach for setting that up. That actually, I think it worked pretty well.
The end cut out.
Oh, so what happened was we ended, like, Zoom, like, gives you a certain amount of time, and it just died. Right, so it wasn't just you, Mindy. But if we could just get into the Gemara again, the Gemara at the beginning of the Sugya, the Gemara asks, Minohanimili, how do you know that there's an Isser of Shlokos or an Isser of Bishul Akum? Again, if we would be doing the academic Talmud approach, so we'd say, one second, why are you asking Minohani Mili? We know that the Isser Shlakos is because the Goyim are going to put some Yayin and Chometz into it, right? That was the text of the Tosefta that we saw at the beginning of the Zman, but apparently the Talmud Bavli is not assuming that, and the Talmud Bavli in the Hava Amina assumes that Bishul Akum is Usser because of Adinda Uraisa, Ocha Bakesef Tashbirini Vachalti, Umayim Bakesef Titenli Bishasisi. So we assume that there's a din of Ochel compared to Mayim, which means that it can't change. Now, Hav Amina number one in the Gemara is that if it changes at all, it should be Usser. And that would mean that chitin va'asan klayos is aser. Klayos is relevant for Pesach. No, you're supposed to give your kids klayos ve'egozim at the Seder. Right? What are klayos?
Aren't those the treats?
It's nuts that you cook. Basically, old cluster crunch Cheerios. You know what I'm talking about? You have nuts that you just roast. And the nuts become very sweet. No? Not nuts, I'm sorry. You take grains and you roast them. I'm like getting drunk already before Pesach. Right? You take grains and you roast them, so the grains become very sweet. Those are kloyos, and you're supposed to give them out to the kids at the Seder, because kloyos ve'egozim keep kids awake because they are sweet. Right? It's like candy. It's interesting that the Rashbam learns Chotvin, that you're supposed to give it to the kids and then take it away from the kids, because if they eat too much, so then they'll fall asleep. I always thought that was kind of cruel. It's like taking candy away from a baby. But it is taking candy away from a baby. But what can we do? Okay, so the Hav Amina of the Gemara, Hav Amina number one, is that Chitin Vasan Kloyos should be Osir, because there's a change. So Zaktigra, no, that's not what we mean. What we mean is a change which is Nishtana Mibriyasan. In other words, Chitin Vasan Kloyos, effectively, that's only a change in the tam. The flavor of wheat changes when you roast the wheat kernels. The Gemara says, no, what we mean is that it's only usher if it's nishtana mibriyaso, if the form changes. So then the Gemara says, one second, if it's usher, if the form changes, so then it should emerge, that if I grind wheat and I make it into flour, that would be usher, and we know that's not true. So Zakti Gemara, it has to be nishtana mibriyaso al yidei or. So Gemara says, well, one second, but Ur is not written in the Pasuk. So Ella means that the Gemara Lecha Ur is completely changing. Ella Midrabonon Ukra Asmachta Ba'alma. Now, the Pashtus in this Gemara is that we are not saying that this is a Din Derabonon that is invented from the air. What we are saying is it's a Din Derabonon that is still modeled on the Pasuk. So l'cha'ora, the pasuk of Nishtana Mibriyaso, right, the Dimyon Tamayim is still relevant halacha l'maisa, no? And that is the opinion, if you look in the Ran on Yudalit Amid Beis, so the Ran basically says, since it's an asmachta, so there is no iser if it is not Nishtana Mibriyaso. If the cooking does not change the form of the item, it will not be usher. Right? Meaning klayos is going to be heter gomor, says the Ran, even though klayos is not ne'echal kemoshehu chai. You can't eat raw grain. And even though klayos is ole al shulchan malachim, you serve it at fancy meals, nonetheless, it's not going to be usher because it is not nishtana mibriyaso. The Ran is saying the halacha lamaisa nishtana mibriyaso remains as a characteristic of Bishul Akum. Who disagrees with the Ran? So the the Rambam. How do you know that? The Shach quotes it, no? And the Rambam says it. I don't have a Rambam in front of me, but the Rambam never mentions the criteria of Nishtana Mibriyaso. It's never found in the Rambam, and it's also not found in the Shulchan Aruch. In other words, the Mechaber says that the only two criteria for Bishul Akum is whether it is Nechal Kamoshehu Chai and Olal Shulchan Malachim, but Nishtana Mibriyaso is not a criteria against the Ran, which would seem to be more like we're focusing on the word Ella rather than we are focusing on the Kra Asmachta Ba'alma. Ella would seem to imply that it's a real change. If it's a real change, it would seem that we are completely rejecting everything we've had until now, and that seems to be the approach of the Rambam. So let's hold this, and we'll try to explain it in greater detail in a few minutes. So far, so good? Weiter in the Gemara. Or before we go weiter in the Gemara, I saw, actually, a few minutes ago in Rabbi Eliav Silverman's Sefer, some of you actually had his wife, apparently, right? Yeah. Adi Bitter. Where does she teach?
Nishmat.
Okay. So, did I mention that she was the woman who was responsible for getting a mechitza?
Uptown.
Okay. Because she, what's it called? She used to come to Daily Minyan, and that's why there's a mechitza, because of Adi. There, in the back of the Gemaras, there's a little work called the Yefei Einayim. No? The Yefei Einayim is Reb Arya Leib Yalin, who's the Av Bezin of Bilsk. No idea who he was or anything about him. But the Yefei Einayim's job is to quote the parallel Yerushalmis to every Gemara. So it's a somewhat useful work if you want to find the parallel Yerushalmis. So, on the Yefei Einayim, on this Gemara, the Yefei Einayim notes that our Gemara over here is quoting the Pasuk as the source of Bishul Akum, and then it's rejected. However, the Yerushalmi seems to remain that Bishul Akum is a din d'oraisa. Now, even if you assume, like our Gemara, that Bishul Akum is a din d'rabbanan, nonetheless, Bishul Akum, as Tosis points out in Dibur Maaseh Hashlokos, is a very early gezeira. And one could say that precisely because Bishul Akum is so early, that's why we have more chumras in Bishul Akum than we would otherwise think. There are chumras that are thrown into Bishul Akum precisely because it's an early din d'rabbanan. We treat it with greater severity. Again, this Tosis is assuming that the Isser of Bishul pre-existed the Isser of Pass. We saw earlier in the semester that the Ran takes it in the opposite direction, right? The Ran felt that Pass preceded the Isser of Bishul, but at least according to this approach, the Balei HaTosfos are using the Hava Amina that Bishul is a din d'oraisa to indicate that it's even halacha l'mayis a very early gezeira. Because had it been a later gezeira, there would be no hava amina that it would be the oraisa. Good. I don't know how far we got in the shiur last time, but the major theme of the Tosis on Lamed Zayin Amid Beis is whether Shlokos and Pas is the same Isser or two different Isurim. And this is a machlokus in the Tosis between the Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri, no? But even though there's a machlokus, Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri seems to have the upper hand with the Raya's at the end of Tosis. He quotes a Raya from a Gemara in Beitza, etc. Nonetheless, the minhag was always to do Erev Tavshilin. We're going to have Erev Tavshilin the last days of Pesach this year, no? Because the last day of Yontiv is Shabbos. So you have to cook from Yontiv to Shabbos, no? There's no such thing as doing an Erev Tavshilin to allow you to cook from Shabbos to Yontiv, because you can't cook on Shabbos, right? But usually you're only allowed to prepare on Yontiv for that same day. Erev Tavshilin allows you to prepare for the next day, since you can't cook on Shabbos, so we do Erev Tavshilin the last day of Yontiv, or before the seventh day of Pesach, we'll do Erev Tavshilin to allow us to cook from Yontiv to Shabbos. Says Rabbeinu Tam, you need a separate matzah and cooked item. We usually use a egg, because according to the Rabbeinu Tam, Pas and Bishul are two separate Isurim. The way Tosis phrases it in Beitza is lo mela'ani libi lachlok al divrei doldi, that the Ri could not argue on his uncle, and therefore Lamaisa, we do both Pas and Bishul. And what this should mean, lahalacha, is, according to Rabbeinu Tam, whatever kulas there are by Bishul Akum did not apply to Pas. And whatever kulas there are by Pas did not apply to Bishul Akum. In other words, the kulas of Nafing Ola al Shulchan Malachim, etc., for the Rabbeinu Tam cannot carry over. For the Ri, lacha'ora, they should carry over. And we pointed out that the Tiferes Yonason, Reb Yonason Eibshitz, on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, says that if you have Pas, which is not Ola or Shulchan Lachem, it's going to be Mutter. But most poskim do not follow his opinion, and again, in Svara, this should depend on the Machlokes Rabbeinu Tam and the Ri. So far, so good. I think did we say this last time?
That's where we had last time.
That we said. Okay, good. Zakti Gemar Vaiter. Amirav Shmuel Barav Yitzchak Amirav. Top of the page. Oh, actually, here, let's do the top tesis before we do the next Gemara. Midrabonon ukra asmachta ba'alma. What's the reason for the Isser Bishul Akum? So tesis points out, let's go quickly. I need audience participation. I'm a little spaced out. Like, by the way, I don't know if you're a father. I find Mechiras Chametz to be, if I would become chief rabbi of the world, I would outlaw Mechiras Chametz. Because the amount of time that I'm spending, like, looking at people and, like, really? You really have $1,000 of liquor? Oh, like, first of all, I don't want to know how much liquor people have. It's a little revealing, by the way, the amount of alcohol that people have.
It's the amount of alcohol that they don't drink.
You're really down the cuffs. You're good. But at the same time, my guess is that anyone who has $1,000 of alcohol as inventory drank a lot more than that to begin with. What?
They host a lot of people. They have a lot of
simchas. Baruch Hashem, wonderful. You're all much firmer than I am. You're down in Kasvas. It's beautiful. I just don't like Mechiras Chametz. What can I say? So Tosu says, what's the reason for Bishul Akum? Let's go. Who should we call on? Who wants to volunteer? What's the reason for the Isser Bishul Akum? What? Chasnos. That's easy. What's the other reason that Rashi says? V'yachilenu davar tamei. Right? Rashi says that there's a concern that if the guy cooks, the guy will give you treif. So Tosfos points out that there's a stira in Rashi's, basically. And Tosfos does not resolve the stira in Rashi's. Now, can we resolve the stira in Rashi's?
What's the
stira? Right? Well, how come Rashi has two different reasons? How come Rashi in the Mishnah says that the reason for Bishul Akum is because of chasnus? Rashi in the Mishnah says that the reason for everything is because of chasnus. Yet Rashi over here says that the reason is shemiyachilenu davar tamei. So, the easiest way to resolve a stira is to say it's not a stira, but there are two reasons for the Isser Bishul Akum. No? But when I have two reasons, I have to deal with the question, do I need both reasons to be usser? Or is one reason alone enough of a reason to be usser? No? And l'cha'ora, the assumption that most mefarshim take within Rashi is that if you have one reason alone, it would also be aser. However, we could say differently, and this is the approach that we mentioned when we learned the Tosis about Pasakum. We mentioned the approach from Rabbi Ganek. Rabbi Ganek said as follows. All of the Isurim in the Mishnah are because of Chasnus. So what does Rashi gain by adding Shema Yachilanu Davar Tamei? Says Rabbi Ganek, because if it's only because of Chasnus, it would not be a Cheftza of Macholos Asuros. However, once I have Shema Yachilanu Davar Tamei, that makes it into a Cheftza of Macholos Asuros. No? The nafgamina would be, you know, there's a famous machlokas between the Rashba and the Ra'ah in the Torah Habayis, as to whether there's a din of Heksher Kalim on Bishul Akum, no? Let's say your maid cooks chicken soup for you, using your chicken at home, and now she calls and she says, well, one second, right? Is the pot kosher or not? So it's Machlokas Rashba and Ra'ah. Generally speaking, in Shulchan Aruch, we are Machmir. If you want to look at the source of this, it's the very end of Kuf Yud Gimel. Sif Tazayin, Kelem Shebisho Bena Ove Kochavim, Dvam Sheesh Mishum Bisho Akum, Tzrichim Hechsher. Vyesh Omrim Tzein Shein Tzrichim Hechsher. Do you have to kasha the kli that a guy used?
Didn't we see in the Ritva, maybe, or the Rashba?
The Ritva has two opinions.
But doesn't the Ritva say that, like, he holds by the Ra'ah, but says, like, Robin, like, you, whatever, as in Haggala would be preferable, but, like, it's fine.
Okay. I'm just telling you that Shulchan Aruch concludes that the Stam opinion in Shulchan Aruch is that it needs Hechsher Kalim.
Which means that it's a
So, presumably, you only need Hechsher Kalim if something was an Isser Cheftza, not if it's an Isser Gavra. If it's an Isser Gavra, that means I'm worried that I might intermarry. But that should not make the pot treif, no? Now, we could also say it in a more fancy way, which is that if the Isser of Bishul Akum is only if something is Ola al Shulcha Malachim, did they ever serve Blios Kalim at a fancy meal? Right? You can't go to a restaurant and order Blios Kalim. Is that correct? It doesn't make any sense. Adina, you're having too much fun.
No, she just did not realize what I was thinking. She's totally sarcastic. I got this.
But I don't think Blios Kalim could be Ola or Shulchan Malachim. So why would it be Usher? Why would the pot be treif? The teretz is that the only reason why the pot is treif is because Chazal decided that Bishol Akum is a cheftza of Isser, and Memela, anything that's a cheftza of Isser, has to remain treif. That's probably the opinion of the Rashba that's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch as the Stam opinion. Let's turn to another source, which I didn't give you yet. But we could flesh out this idea of the two opinions in Rashi through the Hagos Ashri on the side of the Rush. There's the Rush Simin Chof Tes, which I assigned, and there's also a Rush Simin Simin Chof Ches, no? So there's the Hagos Ashri, which is on the side of the Rush. The Hagos Ashri was Reb Yisrael Krems or somebody. He was a Talmud of the Rush who wrote Hagos on the Rush. It's not that exciting. So the Hagos Ashri comments, you see it? In Simen Chof Ches, in the Hagos Ashri. Pirish Rashi. Do people have the place yet? Let me just make sure everyone has it. Rachel. Okay, we'll wait till you find it. So on the side of the Rush, there's a Hagah, which is a Hagos Ashri, and it begins Pirish Rashi.
Yes.
So Rashi says that Shlokos Ditnan, Shelo Yisrael Rogo Etzel B'Machom Mishta V'Yachilanu Davar Tamei. Rashbam Kasa B'Shem Rabbo Seinu De Bishulei Akum Nesar Mishum Gezera Shema Yachilanu Akum Davar Tamei. Hilkach Davar Hamishtane Mebriyaso Al Yedei Ha'or Be Mevushalin B'Mayim Be Insluyin Ba'or Asurin Mishum Bisho Akum. Avamidi delo nishtana mebriyaso, ein lachosh ledover tame, shahaisa nitter. Can someone explain to me what the Hagos Ashri just said? Let me wait for a second hand, then I'll call on you.
Other second hands that you
That's a good sister. Okay.
Okay, I'm not sure if I understood this right, but I think what he was saying was that the what Rashi was saying, I guess, is that if there's something that through cooking it, the something about the food changes in a way that's like obvious, then that would make it usser. But if it's not, like for the thing that I can imagine is like taking a carrot and boiling the carrot.
Where it doesn't like, change.
It doesn't the carrot's now cooked, but you can't see any you can see that the carrot's a whole carrot, so it's not there's nothing coming in the carrot.
So therefore...
So that should be mutter.
So that's mutter.
Right.
So what the Hagos Ashri is saying is that he's linking this explanation of Rashi to the previous Gemara. Now, in the previous Gemara, we had this idea of Nishtana Ayyadei Ha'or. And the Gemara seems to reject it because that pasuk doesn't remain. Zok the Hagos Ashri, yeah, but we're kind of bringing it back based on the svara of Shema Yachilanu Davar Tamei. The only time I can be concerned with Shema Yachilanu Davar Tamei is if there's a change in the food. If there's no change in the food, if nothing, it was the same carrot before and after, so therefore I can't worry that there is some treif ingredient that was thrown in.
Does that mean you keep on his first reasoning?
Say it louder.
That
So it seems like we're agreeing with the previous sugya, but we're bringing, I would almost say it's like agreeing with the previous sugya, lav mitameh. It's not because of the pasuk per se, but it's because once we give this new reason of that it's midrabanon based on Shema Yachilanu Davar Tamei, what that means is I'm only worried about Shema Yachilanu Davar Tamei if there's a change. Let me hear from Tehila, who hasn't spoken up yet today.
I don't, my reading of Hagot Ashrei is not like that. It just seems like it's much simpler than that.
Yeah?
I'm saying that I'm reading the Marla Garan, and I therefore think that we have to, like, that the premise here is if, like, Nishtana Lidei Or, and if it's Nishtana Lidei Or, then we're going to hear about the other two characteristics, and therefore, we can either explain it like Rashi's cosmos, or we can explain it like Rashi's. We're going to choose to not explain it in the chasnas, or we're going to choose to explain it by
Again, do you see the word chasnas anywhere in the Hagos Hashrei?
No, I mean, he's choosing the explanation that Rashi uses on the Sugya, but he's not, I don't think he's, like, thumbing anything. I think he's just explaining the Gemara in a very simple way. I don't think he's, like, even trying to connect it.
I don't know. I would prefer to read any text that the first sentence connects to the second sentence.
Because the Gemara is one Gemara. Meaning, like, it's like an umbrella.
Whoa. But the Gemara has the word Ella.
But
the Gemara is clearly moving away from.
No, but if you learn, like, the Ran as opposed to the Rambam, right, then.
Okay, if I learn, like, the Ran. But I don't think that Hagos Ashri is saying that idea. He's not quoting the Pasuk at all. Right? He's invoking the same idea that the Gemara draws out of the Pasuk without quoting the Pasuk.
I don't know. I would say that as per se undermining of the. Like, I don't know why that would encourage us to dig deeper.
I don't know. If I would just read this Hagos Ashri on its own, just read the text. So I think what the text is saying is the concern of Bishop Akum is that maybe the guy will give me treif, and I'm only worried the guy's going to give me treif if there's a change, and if there is no change, then ain lachush l'davar tamei.
I think it's just because it's kind of like your own art, right? That we have this overarching.
State nicht.
What does that mean? By the way,
it doesn't say it.
There was no extra credit on the test.
What? Oh, that was a terrible mistake. Okay. I mean, obviously you have to know Yiddish because Torah was given in Yiddish. We've spoken about this many times. But, Michal, I don't think Tehillah and I are going to see eye to eye on this. We can continue to argue, but I don't think we'll come to a meeting of the minds.
I wonder if I'm being nitpicky, as though you would be the other thing. But, like, an example of, like, let's say I boil a carrot, and, like, a guy puts, like, vinegar in the pot. It looks exactly the same, but there's something treif in it.
But that is considered. I mean, you're saying that there is, that the carrot looks the same as a carrot. Looks the same, but maybe there is some treif in it.
Right.
I mean, the Hagos Ashri is making an assumption. You're challenging his assumption. His assumption is that only if there's a change in the food. Maybe a carrot is considered a change also, no? Because carrots, don't they go from hard to soft?
But what would be something that you cook but doesn't undergo any physical change? It doesn't exist. Right, and what do you get from cooking?
Water.
Why would you could still put vinegar. It's the same thing. Like, yeah,
I guess
water would be the only example, but even
no, then you could have
no, but then they'd have a different smell. Remember, in the Gemara, there are two stages of Shinui. There is Chitin Vason Klaios. And then stage two of Shinui in the Gemara is Nishtana Mibriyaso, which is the physical change. The way the Hagos Ashri is saying is that if you have something that you cook and it is not nicker, so it is going to be, and there's not nicker, there's any change, so that's mutter if you hold of the reason of Shema Yachilanu Davar Tamei. Because there's no concern Shema Yachilanu Davar Tamei when it didn't change at all. That's what he says.
The only, like, actual scenario where you would have a food that doesn't undergo change after cooking it is water.
Oh, like he said, Chloe was also.
I mean, Kleios.
Why is that? I mean, you ask the same question, Kleios. What if someone's got vinegar in your body?
Not thinking about other
things. Right, how could it only be about water? But if it's not only about water, then it doesn't make sense. As in, it does not mean that you could find a case where it doesn't apply.
I mean, again, the Yesh Li Lomo Midvarov, the continuation that goes to Shri, is I think he's talking about kompot. If you don't know what kompot is, you can ask Tehila, because her grandmother used to make it.
Yeah.
It's like boiled pears and boiled prunes. Remember, this used to be like Shabbos dessert? Trying to bring it out of your mind. Okay. I'm pretty sure he's talking about kompot, no? He says it. Olson kompost. Shall over kochabim. Compost. Sheyadua sheynosim and yain v'chomes. If you know they don't put wine and vinegar in, then it's going to be mutter. Why? Because it's lo nishtana. Basically, the Hagosa Shri is quoting that this machlokas Rambam and Ran that we developed should be totally in the reasons of the Isser for Bishul Akum. That's what he is saying. Let's go weiter. We mentioned with the din of Pas Akum that there's a kula called Pas Palter. Remember?
Yeah.
What about Bishul Akum? Is there a kula of Bishul Palter?
No.
Is there a no, correct. La halacha, you're absolutely right. That there's no kula in Bishul Akum because something is made in a factory. Now, why is there no kula? Why not? Lucha ora, this should be totally in the reasons for Bishul Akum as well. If the reason of Bishul Akum is because of chasnus, so we could say, what chasnus is there in a factory setting? What chasnus is there? You don't know the person who cooked your food, right? That person is somewhere in Iowa. You're never going to see him. However, if the concern is Shema Yachilanu Davar Tamei, so then one could argue that it should be usher. One should argue that it should be usher even if it is in a factory setting. There is a Maharitatz. The Maharitatz was like from that generation of the Beis Yosef in Tzfas. The Maharitatz basically was mekal on Bishul Akum in a palter situation. His opinion was completely not accepted. However, in the tshuva of the Rivavos Ephraim, Rabbi Ephraim Greenblatt from Memphis, he quotes that Rabbi Moshe Feinstein was mekal if you have something, and the OU relies on this, halacha lemaisa, if you have something that's cooked in a factory setting, and it's the type of thing that you cannot possibly make at home to look like that, so then the OU is mekal that there's no Bishul Akum in those situations.
Oreos,
maybe. Cheerios, I think, maybe. I mean, why Oreos and Cheerios might be pas, not Bishul. We'd have to figure out a lot of these...
Yodels?
Oh, so just like tradition soup.
Wait, what?
Tradition soup you cannot make at home.
Yeah,
I think if you have the question of Cheerios is how come we assume that there's no Isser Bishul Akum on Cheerios?
They're better than anything else. Oh,
that don't help. That only helps by pass.
What do you mean?
And that only helps by strimal cookies. What? So pas has more kulas than Bishul Akum. So the question is, to be pas l'chor, it has to be something that theoretically you could make a hamotzi on it. Rav Schechter always says that there's no Teresa de Nahama, there's no image of bread at all on Cheerios, because Cheerios are so small, it can't possibly look like bread.
Every
other cereal,
is it any?
Yes.
Would it any food?
But the tshuva in the back of Reb Nissen Tolushkin's sefer on mikvaos, he has a tshuva as to whether Cheerios and all brand is subject to the rules of Bishul Akum. All brand is like an ancient cereal.
Well, what does that have to do with
mikvaos? Because in the back of his sefer on mikvaos, he decides to write his other tshuvas.
So there are other randoms.
Totally random. It's not only about mikvahs. This whole sefer is on mikvahs.
And the applies
to any food that has a hefshar on it that's by a non-kosher brand.
So this is the question. How come factory-made food is not Bishul Akam? I don't think there is a Jew who works in General Mills who turns on the equipment in the morning. So how come your breakfast cereal is kosher? Shouldn't it be Bishul Akam? So the heter that the OU uses is based on what they call Super Palter. Super Palter is not a really bad superhero. Super Palter is that if you... a regular Palter is a local baker who you could possibly meet. Super Palter is somebody you're never going to meet, although we don't rely on the Maharitas in general, we rely on the Maharitas in this context. Fine. Let's go on in Tosfos.
Wait,
what?
You get around the Shema Yachilanu,
so how do we get around Shema Yachilanu Davar Tameh? Presumably because there's a Jew who's Yotze V'Nichnas. Right, they do have a mashgiach who comes into these factories every... How often does a mashgiach go to these factories, by the way? Like once or twice a year.
But
you have no idea when. And factories sign contracts with the OU that they're only going to use these particular ingredients, or any other hashgacha operates this way. So that's why the OU has a big legal department. The idea is that they will sue you if they find any other ingredient that's not on the approved list in their factory. So whenever they want to, if Cheerios decides that they now want a razzle-dazzle type of like apple cinnamon Cheerios, right? So even though apples are kosher and cinnamon is... What? They're great. They're amazing. But apples are kosher and cinnamon is kosher, but the Cheerios company better line up with the OU that that's going to be okay. So now, right? Because or else they can't have any other products in their factory. That's the way Hashgacha works. They show up once or twice a year. It probably solves the problem of Shema Yachilanu Davar Tameh. Let's go on.
So the replicating part is not part of that
thing? Louder?
The fact that they can't replicate it at home.
So in other words, we don't rely on the Super Palter on its own. Just because I don't know who cooks it is not a heter, but combined with the fact that you can't make it at home, they quote that Rav Moshe was makol on that.
And that's all because of chasnus.
And it seems like we're basing it on chasnus. There's no din of chasnus, and we solve the problem of Shami Yachil and Davar Tameh by having a mashkiach yotzei v'nichnas. Right? Now, Tosis in three places in Shas quotes from the Ravid. This is one of them. Right? Who's the Ravid? The Ravid is the arch enemy, the opponent of the Rambam. No? The Ravid died in 1197, which is actually very important to know because the Rambam wrote his Sefer in... The Rambam's Sefer came to Provence, where the Ravid was, in 1192. And everyone in Provence is talking about this new Sefer came out, and it's amazing, it's going to revolutionize Judaism. The Ravid is known as the Gadol Hadar. The Ravid jotted down a few notes on the side of the Rambam to say, listen, Chevra, don't just blindly accept this Sefer as... Right? Rambam wrote his book, it's called Mishneh Torah. The Rambam is saying, all you have to learn is Tanakh and my book. You don't have to learn Gemara. The Ravid is saying, no, you still have to learn Gemara. Right? And he jots down a few notes on the side of the Rambam to say, listen, Chevra, don't blindly accept this Rambam. Now, this is an important point. The Ravid over here has a kula of Bishul Akam when it is cooked in a Jew's home. No? You see that kula? Reb Avram ben David. Now, I should point out, by the way, that if you look in the Puras Yosef, in the back of the Gemara, he assumes that this cannot be our Ravid, Reb Avram ben David. He says it has to be some other Rishon, Reb Ephraim ben David. Because, he says, the Ravid doesn't argue on the Rambam that you saw. The Rambam quotes Dinim of Bishul Akam. And the Ravid never jumps up and says, one second, there's no din of Bishul Akam in the Jew's home. So says the Puras Yosef, this indicates that the person that Tosis is quoting is not Reb Avram ben David, as we have it, should really be Reb Ephraim ben David. It's really a different person. Our Tosis says Avram, yeah, but it's a mistake. That's a Peres Yosef. However, the way we are saying it, which is what Dr. Soloveitchik always says, the Ravid not being masig on the Rambam is not a raya to anything. The Ravid just gets the Rambam at the end of the Ravid's life, and the Ravid decides, I'm going to jot down a few notes to show you not to accept this Rambam blindly. But the fact that the Ravid doesn't write something on the side of the Rambam doesn't prove anything. Right? So the Ravid says that the Isser of Bishul Akum does not apply in a Jew's home. But Rabbeinu Tam does not agree with the Ravid. Why does Rabbeinu Tam not agree with the Ravid?
So you're
understanding the Ravid. Does the Rabbeinu Tam disagree because chasnus? Or does the Rabbeinu Tam disagree because of something else? That there still is a concern. The Pashtus in Tosis, I think, is that Rabbeinu Tam is agreeing that Shema Yachilenu Davar Tame is one of the reasons for Bishul Akum. But he says, you know what, it's like a low plug. If the guy's cooking in your house, there still is a concern of Shema Yachilenu Davar Tame. You get the impression that they're not worried about chasnus at all. Why is there no concern of chasnus? So many mefarshim understand that what the Ravid is talking about, why is a goy cooking in your house? The answer is the goy is your housekeeper. No? And you know what? When someone works for you, there's not really a concern of chasnus. That's the standard explanation. Now, obviously, we're supposed to respect our workers and treat them with a lot of dignity. Got that. But the mitzius is that very often people don't treat their workers with enough respect. And therefore, there's not going to be a real concern of chasnus. The only concern might be Shema Yachilenu Davar Tame. The Ravid says, what Davar Tame? The guy who's cooking in my kitchen is going to take my spices, my food from my refrigerator and cook it. What problem could there be? Says Rabbeinu Tam, low plug. Now, I'm reading a little bit into the words, and it doesn't exactly say it, but I think it's a simpler read of the Tosfos. Hi, Tehila.
I have a bigger question, meaning, like, why are we not assuming that chasnus would work with, like, a lower-level thing? You know, we have tons of halachos when it comes to, like let's say, shifcha, you know, how to, like, based on the story of, like, let's say, Yosef and Potiphar, we seem to be very concerned about chasnus.
I mean, was that case normal or unusual?
But let's say a shifcha that was captured, are we only assuming that she was novella because it's a guy? And if it's a Jew, we assume that it wouldn't happen.
Again, in war and stuff, there's greater concern. But if someone works for you, the assumption is perhaps there's less concern of chasnus. The simple reading of the Rabbeinu Tam, la'olam yesh lacha shema lo yizahir gam bebeso, it sounds more like a concern of shema yachilanu davar tamei.
How would he do that if he's
using all your... you have a worker, and you run out of whatever, so they're going to run to the local bodega and buy whatever, and that whatever won't be under rabbinical supervision. So it's going to be treif.
I mean, it's the same. We know there's a fear of chasnus with them. Like, we have an Isser Yichud, why would we apply that?
So apparently, if I'm reading Tosis this way, the Ravid, or whoever this Rishon is not giving a kula in general, it's only by a shifcha. This comes up in Shulchan Aruch. Now there's a discussion in Se'if Dalet in Shulchan Aruch whether there's a kula of shvachos. The Darkei Moshe, the Ramah in Darkei Moshe writes that his opinion is that b'di'evad you can rely on the Ra'ivid, that there is no din of Bishul Afkam but Beis Yisrael. The Mechaber feels, no, if it's Beis Yisrael, that's not going to be a kula at all. That the Ra'ivid is rejected. We'll see next time in Yirtzeh Hashem the discussion between the Ramah in the Darkei Moshe and the Beis Yosef as to whether we accept this Ra'ivid at all, but it would seem that the real issue at hand is one of Shema Yachilanu Davar Tameh rather than a concern of Chasnus. Once again, Chai Kosher V'Sameach, and enjoy Yontif.